Hey, Dad. How's it going?
Good. Where are we today?
We're in Edra, recording this podcast.
Yeah.
And it's very fun because we have some new technical achievements.
Yeah. Which
some
is,
would say.
Which is what?
Which is we have a audio interface called with a Focusrite. It's very fun, and I'm recording both of our voices with one audio file in my computer.
So this is the first.
It's
is
easier,
podcast number three, and this is the first time Niles and I are sitting across from each other face-to-face.
Yeah.
Instead of on the computer.
Like a Zoom call or something, yeah.
That there's no technical things to worry about. We just look at each other, have a conversation. This is the dream.
It's the dream.
And we're here today in a place called Edra, which is an island in Greece. Niles is from Greece. And so we're here to bring you podcast number three from Edra, right?
Exactly.
And we're happy.
Exactly.
Okay. So what are we going to talk about today, Niles, on podcast number three?
We're going to be talking about labeling people, how that's bad, and we're going to be talking a little bit about cancel culture.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. And how did we come up with this? I'm trying to think. Were we talking about it
yesterday? We were talking about it yesterday on our way to the boat, yeah.
Yeah, we were sitting there waiting for the boat.
Yeah.
And even just chatting, right?
Yeah, we were just chatting about, we were having a conversation about an SNL short with the, it was a very funny SNL short. And somehow this conversation came up.
And we thought it'd be a good topic for a podcast, right?
Yeah, it was a great topic for a podcast.
Okay. So this seems to be, I'm not in the U.S. and neither are you, but as I see, this idea of cancel culture seems to be very kind of the rage now, or at least this whole, I guess, social media inspired group attacks on people or...
Why do you think that is? It's more relevant now.
You know, they say it's because of social media, but I mean, let's talk a little bit about the types of behavior.
Does social media enhance that? Oh, I don't think it does.
I think social media adds to the stridency of people's beliefs around different things, right? So if you and I are sitting here together, we're probably going to be pretty polite to each other. We probably accept all kinds of behavior.
You have this kind of fake facade behind you when you're on social media. There's no real personal communication with the other person. You can write anything on Twitter and nobody's going to give a shit. But when you're having a conversation with an actual person, it's different.
Yeah, because you see the whole person. You're not going to immediately hop on that person and
definitely,
judge or take issue or start arguing with somebody.
And it's so easy to do that in social media. It's so easy to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
So what are the types of things that... cancel culture, when we say that, so I mean, the definition that we read of cancel culture was...
Let me bring it up here. I'll read it to our beautiful audience. Cancel culture refers to the popular practice of withdrawing support for canceling public figures and companies after they have done or said something considered objectionable or offensive. Cancel culture is generally discussed as being performed on social media in the form of group shaming.
Yeah.
Okay. So
type of group shaming of somebody for something they've said or some behavior they've had.
Yeah.
Group shaming them and basically just like saying we no longer support them. They don't exist anymore. That's
I think it's very vivid now, though. And it's very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm. So what are some things that people have said or done that lead to them being canceled by this cancel culture? What kinds of things?
I'm not sure.
Would qualify, because we've got like President Trump, who says crazy things, outrageous things all the time.
Yes, he does.
But he's not a victim of cancel culture, right?
You know why?
Okay, let's talk about that.
So... yeah, but not for too long, because this podcast isn't about Donald Trump specifically.
No, not about him, but I mean about, again...
I think Donald Trump has a very, you know, very different personality.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that, and of course because he's the president, first of all, because he's the president, you can't cancel him.
Mm-hmm. And can literally? People on the right be canceled, or is it just something on the left? Right? That's the thing I wonder. Like, when I think about cancel culture, and I don't, not an expert on it, but it seems to me like it's more a phenomenon of people on the left. Like, you said something sexist, or you said something racist, or you said something, you know, that's objectionable to the left, and therefore you get canceled. But is it also on the right? Can somebody on the right be canceled?
I'm not sure.
You know, like, what are the things that you think of when you think of, what are things that people do that gets them canceled?
I think it's the different stuff they say, usually on social media, that they say. I know a lot of people who have racist comments, different stuff like that.
Right. But a racist comment generally would be an affront to people on the left, right, who are concerned with racism, let's say. It's an important issue on the left. And so people say something that's racist or perceived as racist, so they're canceled by the left.
Why do you think, though?
But can you be canceled if you're on the right? That's my question. That's kind of interesting.
I think everybody can be canceled. Generally, if they have some attention, right. Everybody can be canceled.
Right, but the way, again, you've got this notion that...
I think it's just more common.
Right, but so racism?
Because of the beliefs that the left system has.
Right.
I think it's just common. Because more common, yeah.
But does happen in the other way? What would be a thing that somebody on the right would say that would cancel? Like, I hate guns, for example.
Yeah, I hate guns. Everybody would just go and, like, burn them, burn their personalities online.
But I don't know if you'd be canceled for that, would you? Because, like, that's half the country is... once gun restrictions.
It would be interesting to see what the qualifications are to be canceled.
I know. I think we need somebody who maybe is more familiar with this notion of cancel culture, because I'm more familiar with being on the left than being on the right. Because if you're on the right...
Why is that?
Again, because the things I think about being canceled are racism and sexism. Again, let's say issues of prime importance to people on the left.
Uh-huh. Right? And I think just different problems in the world, not just that, right?
Yeah. Okay. So why don't we just...
Like the environment, for example. Global warming is not real. Some people would say if it was Donald Trump, then of course he wouldn't be canceled because he's got such a huge following. Mm-hmm. But if a right-wing person would say that, he would probably be canceled.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
So we don't need to determine whether they're things on the right or the left, but let's just take an example of some of the things that lead to people being canceled or being dismissed. I mean, you know, okay. So why don't you, Niles, tell me, what do you think about the idea that, first of all, let's just take the issues themselves, okay?
Yeah.
And let's take sexism, let's take racism, both of those. Do you think... what do you think about how sexist people are today or how racist people are today versus how they were in the past or versus, let's say, how people should behave? Like, are people today quite sexist? Are men today quite sexist? And so it's normal that people would be being accused of sexism, or is it... What do you think about that? I mean, are those issues real when people today are being called sexist?
I think they're definitely real. But I think the people who are trying to detect that are looking in the wrong place to find sexist people to, you know, stop them from being sexist or racist. But I don't think, because everybody's just online now, everybody looks there to find somebody. It's not always there, what they're looking for.
So are you saying some of the people that are getting accused of being sexist or racist are not really the problem?
Yeah. Not always, not mostly. Because they have a public image right there, they're more sensitive. They're more reserved, right? Mm-hmm. Not as people in the real world. In the real world, we should focus more on what's happening outside than what's happening on our phones.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's mostly just, say, one person says something sexist, right?
Right.
Everybody gathers on that one person.
Right.
There's there's groups of people physically that are saying that stuff. And we're looking at this one person which should be acknowledged, but not that severely.
So right? You're saying that the social media or the online puts people too much focused on one person's
and
behavior.
Because they have all that power, they wield that power.
You mean the online people?
Yeah, the online people. And they wield that power and shove it down the necks of the people that said something lightly sexist or lightly racist, which isn't a good thing. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. It's not a good thing.
Right. People should be called out if they say something.
But it's not the most important thing about these topics or issues, in my opinion.
So what is the most... By doing that, what are we not doing?
Well,
so focused on the online, like the transgression. Let's say some movie star says something, and everybody goes after that movie star online because they said something, you know, that's perceived as sexist or racist. What should people be doing with their concern about these issues? I mean, what's the alternative to this?
Well, like I said before, I think we should really focus on the real world first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I'm not saying we shouldn't focus at all on social media because there's like creeps there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more important to see what's happening outside because by just saying that online, it won't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
It'll always remain online. But if somebody says or does something in the real world, it can change. It can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. It can be way more dangerous for different topics like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the people that say that are not being focused on enough to be canceled, which cancel in real life, I would probably say, is do something about that. Yeah. You know, we have to do something
about
that.
Like, to me, it does seem like there is a mindset in people.
Yeah.
That if they, let's say somebody says something which is perceived to be racist or sexist, and it may be or may not be, but by calling them out, it makes you feel good because you're saying, I stand in
and
this
especially
way
with
toward
group,
that type of
right?
behavior,
it's
right?
Group shaming.
It makes you feel probably good, but the reality is in the real world, you're really not doing anything, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
There's no real...
And a huge,
maybe the dopamine hit is stronger for the, you get a lot of dopamine by doing that relative to having to actually work at a social justice issue by doing something in the real world.
Yeah. You know, it's imagine if a 13-year-old has the power to cancel someone, a politician.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that kind of odd?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah. So
I'm 13. I've got access to the internet. I've got access to basically anything, all the information in the world.
Yeah.
And I can help a movement. Should I be allowed to do that?
Right. And that's the thing.
There's not enough restriction.
Right.
Because it's not physical. When it's physical, first of all, it's going to be easier.
Right. It's almost like people want that dopamine hit of jumping on board to attack somebody because it makes them feel good. But they don't, again.
But that's a bad thing.
They don't think.
They don't logically think.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they don't see the whole picture of
and
a
because
person.
They're so thirsty for this type of dopamine,
right.
They ignore everything else.
Right. To me, it seems like a little bit like mob behavior. You know, again, mobs serve their purpose in social change. So I'm not saying a mob shouldn't be, but I don't think you should always be subject to the mob. Right? Like,
what do you mean?
Hearing different opinions, looking at somebody in the real world, seeing them with their family and friends and their behavior outside of this one transgression shapes how you view the whole person. One utterance or one thing that you say that everybody jumps on board is not really a full picture of that human being who's living, right?
Exactly.
In the real world, you're forced to see all aspects of the person.
Another kind of bland thing in social media.
Mm-hmm.
And cancel culture is most vividly noticed in social media. So
it reduces everybody to whatever utterance people are attacking.
Yeah.
Right?
And because of that, I would like to kind of flow into labeling. Mm-hmm. Say one person is called racist online, he's canceled. Because everybody thinks, because he said a racist comment, he's not a good guy. That's what makes up the entire person. Oh, he said a racist thing. You're a bad person. You're a bad person because you said a racist thing. It's a bad thing. Saying that, it's not a good thing. It's definitely not a good thing. But it doesn't make up the whole person. And whenever somebody says something lightly, people can take it to extremes and then make it the whole deal with this guy or a girl.
Right, because people say dumb things all the time. And I think people, here's the thing.
Especially on social
media. People have a multitude of different ideas about all kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
And they might, again, people have their own biases, their own prejudices, their own tribalism, their own family histories, their own friendships, their own life, right?
Because we don't
Nobody
know.
Nobody is one thing.
We don't know the people on social media. What they show us isn't the real them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is the real them, but we don't know them personally. We have to judge someone if we know them, right?
Yeah.
And then it's our opinion. I think then it's justified to judge someone, right?
Exactly. And, it's everything is weaponized now against people, I believe.
I feel like we have this rage inside of us.
Yeah.
That then turns into dopamine, and social media turns it into dopamine.
Right. Exactly.
Like you said.
Yeah. We take all of our frustration with important social issues and we pour it into this dopamine hit going after somebody, and that somehow makes us feel better,
and then it becomes an addiction.
it becomes an addiction for some people. It's just so far away. The way we characterize all these people online is so far away from the 3D view we have of all the people we know in our lives, right?
Uh-huh.
Which everybody has stupidity, everybody has their genius, everybody has things they see.
Because we're all people.
Yeah, we're all people, right.
Yeah, but when you're showing this personality online, which most people are, it's hard to show the real you.
Yeah.
When you've got thousands of followers.
Very hard. And plus,
so how
media,
are you going to judge a person by that?
And this is the other thing that, again...
How are you going to say, I don't like him, cancel him, because he said this, because he said that?
Yeah.
It's dumb, in my opinion. Very dumb.
And the media does have an agenda itself, and that agenda is to get people stirred up and to create a story, right? That's the agenda of the media. So again,
the stories they're catching after, that they're kind of causing all of this drama?
I think they're part of the narrative,
mm-hmm.
That's going on at any time. So when you've got this cancel culture online and you've got all of this happening, the media is going to use
it's
that.
Going crazy.
Yeah, the media is going to enhance
it's going
and
crazy,
amplify
yeah.
those messages so that people feel...
For entertainment.
Right, for entertainment and for sell news.
So in a way, people don't take this seriously if it's just entertainment. But when it's actually happening to the person, it's serious for them.
Yeah.
It's a whole like career ruiner just for entertainment if you think about it. And I think politicians have a lot to do with this because they're so far away from our reach, right? That we want to hate them for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question is to you, right? When we're confused or disturbed, it eases our minds to put labels on things. What do you think that is?
To make sense of... Try to make sense of a situation, right? Try
uh-huh.
to simplify.
To control it?
Try to control it, right?
To control people.
Yeah, exactly. So if you don't like somebody for whatever reason, maybe because you're jealous of them, maybe because you just don't like them, if you label them, you can belittle them, and it makes you feel like you have a sense of control over that situation.
Yeah, but then you label yourself.
And you can try to rally people around that, to put that person in a box, right? To label them.
I think
them.
It has to do a lot with cancel culture as well.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, the thing that's interesting to me is, again, we don't seem to be having enough forms where people can escape this and condemn this type of behavior, you know? And many people, maybe people don't agree with me that it needs to be condemned. Maybe people feel like the shouting down of people and the canceling of people is warranted. You know, there are a lot of real bad people who are part of also getting canceled, right?
Yeah.
Take Harvey definitely. Weinstein or take any number of people, right?
Yeah. Who's,
as you, whatever you hear about the situation, you go, that guy does not seem like
a good guy.
Yeah. But, you know,
he doesn't
if you
seem
were around
like that,
him, you probably
but that doesn't,
would know that.
That, again,
right?
That doesn't define him as a person. Right. I'm looking at this article saying, why cancel culture can't take a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read this. The trouble for cancel culture is that the excess it inspires are so slightly silly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think it's kind of true. And it can't take a joke. Look at this statue right here. It says racist fish. You see?
Uh-huh.
You see that? It's very interesting how far people are willing to go just to ridicule someone, to make them feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the media is weaponizing that. As you said, they're making it a form of entertainment. Imagine being that person and the media is just shitting on you.
Yeah, no, I think, again, many people I know who've had articles written about them say the media twisted it to be a certain way. Again, and I don't think it's necessarily a political ideology. I think it's just a
and
story.
I think the media is somehow put labels on the person.
Because when you're writing a story or you're doing a essay, if you're halfway through and it all falls apart and the story doesn't work, that's not good for you if you got to get your story out, right? So you need a narrative.
Yeah.
And you have to create.
I don't think it would be that hard for most of the people to do their job, which is actually write something real, which is important. We have a lot of problems in our society today and our environmental problems, different stuff like that. And we're focusing on this one teeny tiny person who will probably not change the world at all, and who said something racist. Every media article piles up to write something about that.
Yeah.
There's no... people raise money to raise awareness about different topics. The media is the most powerful weapon to do that.
Yeah.
And
it's
they're
like,
using
it's like
it,
a super shot of dopamine.
Yeah,
right?
And they're using it to write racist fish to a person.
No, again, I think the media is feeding dopamine to the people as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a big part of it. Big part of
it. You know, the question is, where's the
voice? And they think
it's
official. They think it's because it's official, it's okay to do it.
I know, completely. And that it's interesting. I mean, again, it's so politically divided in the U.S., you know, that you can't seem to have any conversation.
How about the whole world? What do you think?
Well, actually,
in other countries, do you think cancel culture is a thing?
I do, and I also think a lot of what's happening in the U.S.
I don't think
in
Greece it is.
Greece is a totally different culture. Explain how Greece works and why you think there's no cancel culture in Greece.
There's a huge difference between America and the other countries. America is so media-oriented, right? It wants to absorb more media. It's the maker of media. Mm-hmm. It's everything media. Everything comes from there.
Yeah.
Right? So there's definitely a huge difference. What I've noticed in Greece, most people who use social media are either 40-year-old moms, which is a label. I'm labeling right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make it comedical. Jesus Christ, I can't speak. We're using Facebook, which Facebook isn't really a form of cancel culture because not a lot of people use it anymore, I think.
Mm-hmm. Young people.
And young people use mostly like Instagram stuff. It's like a toned down version of what social media is in the U.S.
Right.
There isn't, I don't think there's a form of.
Because there's so much media saturation in the U.S., it's almost like the U.S. is the most blinded by this media landscape, right? In Greece, let's say if an American sees 80% of his information or 90% of his information comes from the media.
And the thing with Greece is all the articles are mostly written about politics. They're mostly about actual topics for our country.
In Greece?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
for like Mitsotakis, what's he doing? Tsipras, whatever he's doing. But they're kind of relevant with our state of the country. I think that's a good thing that we're doing because we're focusing on what's wrong with our country and what people think.
Yeah, there's plenty to focus on, right?
Yeah. What does the U.S. Think about that?
Yeah.
Donald Trump shaved his hair.
And
I don't know.
Greeks don't have nearly the same media saturation. They live in the real world.
And I think a lot of
more.
Countries are like that.
More so, mostly. Again, I think you're right. I think it's like a scale. You know, the U.S. is the most media saturated in my experience. Yeah.
It's a huge country, so it's
more
expected out of the U.S.
You could say they're most blinded by some of this stuff, right? It's less an issue.
For sure.
But
for
do
sure.
you see it all? So one thing is how much media you have, right? And Greece is not so media saturated, right?
No. But
one thing is that. But then the other thing is I think there's maybe also a societal thing that Americans have this stridency that Greeks are a little bit more, what would you say? Do you know what I mean? They don't have the same, like in the U.S. we had all these trials.
But why do Americans, right, why do they want to inflict this bad, like, shaming on a person? But
Greek people don't. Some people say, or, like, the American Puritan.
Is it because of this ideal that
this moralistic
people have?
There's a moralism that's part of American society. It's like a Puritanism that people feel they condemn each other, right? They condemn each other. But in Greece, it's not so much that type. I don't think the society is like that so much, right? They don't. But what they do is they're superstitious. Greeks are more superstitious, let's say, right? They have different point of view. It's not so much about individuals' beliefs.
Exactly, but I mean, it's kind of sad.
Can you describe it, though? Can you describe what Greek culture is like for people who don't know much about what it's? Greeks don't condemn the individual, what do they do? They look to the church. What do they do?
Yeah,
what's
I think they do, but it really has to do. This is more physical. It has to do with society, the do's and the don'ts of what people think, but not in social media. In social media, it's more like a crazy representation of young people in Greece, because that's what a 50-year-old man thinks in Greece.
Have you ever seen
somebody
be canceled because they're racist in Greece?
I don't know.
Or that they're sexist in Greece?
No, they're definitely shat upon. But they're not, like, canceled. We don't have that. You don't see that.
Right. So somebody says something. Like, let's say
they are canceled, though.
Says something
they are canceled in real life. Uh-huh. Like, if you're in a... Greece is very politically, like, involved with, and everybody on social media, they mostly focus on that. So a lot of politicians might be canceled, but not because of what they said on social media, because of the craziness they show in different speeches and stuff. And there's a huge power on television and radio, which doesn't really, it isn't the same as it is in America, because I'm just reading
some
stuff.
But you can't think of a single Greek person who's been canceled.
No.
You can't. It's not the same.
TV and radio don't have as much power as they do in the U.S. And that's true, right?
Right.
That's true.
Like, I think if I said cancel culture to some of my Greek friends, they go, what are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And you go, somebody said something that people thought was, like, inappropriate, either rate, and so everybody just piled
on. The concept is logical.
Yeah.
Right? The concept is logical. Somebody said something which most people don't agree with. Mm-hmm. It's logical to, you know,
to
not
sanction
yeah.
That. Yeah. It's logical.
It's logical, but not at this form that right.
But not to completely and it's very cancel sad. Them based on that.
It's very sad that Americans a huge part of America sits down on their phones and they do that, cancel culture, mm-hmm. instead of actually focusing on what they should do and the problems in the world. It's basically, in my opinion, America's the most powerful country because they control the media.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what our listeners believe about this. If they agree with yeah. what we're saying,
if you
or
do,
don't agree.
If you want to show us your opinion, you can.
Yeah, you can leave us a voicemail on anchor.fm
yeah.
on Talk with Dad. Leave us a message. I'd be curious in other countries, particularly.
What other people,
if people
think.
If people also see something different happening in America than they do in India, China, European countries, yeah. South America, Africa, do people see? Does cancel culture exist in your country? I'd be curious to know that, right?
Yeah.
Whether people also like us see it most strong in America.
In general, in Greece, no. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't think so. Not the same experience.
It's very different, the culture. And because we are kind of not as developed mm-hmm. as you are, we have more serious stuff to attend
to. Well, you wonder whether this is a positive to have a cancel culture. I'm yeah, not sure that's a yeah. positive development yeah.
but,
as far as societies go. Yeah.
Exactly.
So it is interesting. I really don't know what people think about stuff yeah. like this. Do you? I really
no.
don't know.
It would be interesting. So, yeah, send
please
us a voice
leave,
message.
Yeah, please yeah. leave us a voice message, especially yeah. if you have a strong opinion and so, if you can help us understand
yeah, yeah. So,
what it's like in your country. Yeah.
Papa.
Yeah.
Do you? I want to circle back to that SNL short. Mm-hmm. It's called. It's with this lady. I don't know her actor with Totino's.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Tostino's.
Totino's. Yeah. yeah. And there's this lady that comes to her house, and they have. It's very funny, and they have sex or something. And it does. It's relevant with labeling people, right?
Mm-hmm.
As this woman in a suburban home. With her hungry guys, uh-huh. right? And she's feeding them like Totino's, but then this woman comes along. So her husband has this label on her. She brings the food and all of that stuff, right? And yeah. it was really interesting. I think that's how the conversation started because
is
of that.
Is that where we ca- yeah.
So I think so.
A suburban housewife.
Yeah.
What? She lives in one world, and then another woman comes over. Yeah. She's got a totally different...
Kristen Stewart, I think, yeah, was her name, and yeah. she...
So that's what launched us on this conversation. Yeah. It's kind of a funny yeah. thing to launch us on this conversation.
It was a very funny yeah. thing.
So I don't have too much more to say myself on this. Do you have more to say? I'm more curious to have other opinions
I want us to focus a little bit more on labels. We've been talking about cancel culture, and I think we should focus a little bit about...
Mm-hmm.
what labeling people means. Mm-hmm. There's not a bunch you can say about that. It's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's why we kind of combined it with cancel culture, because it does make a little bit more sense to combine it like that. So what do you think about labeling people, labeling different people, and then thinking it's through her personality? And how do we treat them in real life when we have these labels in our mind? Say, I'm walking down the street, there's a black man in front of me. What do you think, or what do I think?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I personally think...
You mean prejudices?
Yeah.
What's in your head?
What's in your
biases?
Head? What, there's these stereotypes that,
mm-hmm.
in my mind, always are in the back of your mind, just like waiting to burst.
Uh-huh.
Right.
You mean you feel unsafe? Is that what you're saying?
No. It's not
what
that.
You,
it's
so
just
what
that
are you saying when a black man is on the street? What do you
when
feel?
When a black that man's on the street, he's right in front of me. We're having a conversation. It's always kind of in the back of my mind that he's black.
Uh-huh.
Not that he's a bad person or something, but it's always kind of in the back of my mind.
It's an exception
for some reason.
In Greece, right? I mean,
yeah, in Greece, but in general, when I was in America, we have a lot of...
Well, you know, Barack Obama talked about this.
Yeah.
In his discussions about race. He talked about how he, you know, how there are people have to admit they have different ideas, right, in their head.
They do.
That are set off. And
they do.
and again, in this labeling environment, it's not that
we can't react normal to because there are other people, yeah. right? But no, in my mind, it's always back.
We should acknowledge that,
you know, but we shouldn't make it, you know.
No, we should talk about it and be honest about it like we are.
Exactly. You know,
that's the thing. There's nothing wrong. Everybody has their biases in the world. There's no people in the world that don't have their biases, perceptions, experiences.
Yeah.
You know, and we shouldn't be afraid of ourselves. That's the thing. We should be able to talk about it. And I think that's why Barack Obama talked about it, because it's okay.
What did he say?
It doesn't mean you're a bad person.
Do you remember
person.
What he said?
Yeah, or? He said, and I just remember the essence of it. You know, he had a white grandmother who played an important role in raising him. And something mm-hmm. about, I don't know if he said, something about, again, this kind of reaction to seeing a black man on the street.
I wonder if
he could understand why people felt different things about that. Here was his grandmother who loved him more than anything in the world, and who also had these experiences like you're describing. So there was nothing wrong with admitting that we all have that, right?
It's definitely a part of humanity, labeling people and putting them into categories, right? Do you think it's a bad thing that we do that?
You know, I think it's inevitable because I can tell you.
I don't think it's definitely a positive, because if we just hit the world and we hit a reset button, I think we'd do it all over again.
I think
the
it would
same
be,
thing.
It,
we'd
it,
be
exactly.
labeling
it would
people.
Be naive to think. When I go, you know, I spend.
Society kind of works like that. Well, you've got the rich people, you've got the middle class, and you've got the lower class. It's a label.
Yeah.
Right?
It is.
Some people treat other people because of their class that they're in.
You know, I can tell you, for me, I had a particular thing. So I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, which is a very segregated city, right?
Yeah.
And I grew up in this white-black racial divide, and with certain perceptions about race, right? Which were not necessarily held by my family, but which was around me in this city. You know, and it almost created to me this sort of lurking sense of fear about whether I was racist or not that I ever had an impulse to that, which I didn't, but just that there was this racial divide that existed, right? Different cultures.
And as a child, as a child, for example, somebody says that to you, even if they say that, even if they don't care if there's black people, when you know there's a divide,
exactly.
as a young person's
exactly,
mind,
yeah.
it always says there's a reason for that, right?
It's not just dumbery, right? And the thing is,
it's not just stupidity, but it is.
It's all human experience, because
it's very stupid. It's stupidity, right? But as a young person's mind, as a young person's mind, you try to understand why this is, why they're separated. Maybe your family doesn't say anything about that. You think there is. So again, there's some sort of fear, right?
Yeah.
There's some sort of fear because you don't understand that it's stupid.
There's always fear of the other in some fashion. If there's a divide, there's a reason for the divide.
And there's a big part of that with your family.
But what I was going to say, just to complete the point that I was trying to say, was...
Yeah, sorry.
Because I spent so much time in Africa, and we went to Uganda last summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you... And not just time in Africa, but also time as an adult outside of my childhood home, and I had a different experience and lived different places in the world, you know, the original division that you grew up with gets broken down by your additional personal experiences, talking with different people, meeting different people, understanding different cultures. And the culture that I grew up with in St. Louis was a St. Louis culture. Right,
and what's that
American
exactly?
Culture. Well, I mean,
Saint
with regard
Louis
to
culture.
Race, there's a whole experience in America around race.
What is the experience?
You know, I think, you know, it's well known. I mean, again, the racial divide, the, you know, all the issues between blacks and whites in the U.S. and all mm-hmm. that. You know, and it's different in other places, right? So when you go to Ghana, for example, and you talk to people, they don't have that experience. They have different experience. Colonial experience, and they have their own aspirations as people, as the country develops, and so they have a whole different experience. It's different. So all the categories break down as you have more and more experience in the world, And so then you no longer, I don't no longer have the St. Louis. That's no longer imprint.
You've traveled the world.
Yeah.
You've seen other people's opinions. And,
traveled so much. But that's the thing. But I don't expect, everybody comes from a local culture.
Sure.
I don't expect Ghana people to be different than their own experiences. I don't expect people, everybody has their experience and everybody has their limitation. You know, that's the point. So I think everybody labels everybody else. I think everybody has a tribal element in terms of their clannish view of the world. I think that's inevitable. We have to admit that about ourselves and then figure out how we can overcome it. But if you think people are going to stop being tribal and feel like a connection with the way they see the world, it's just never going to happen in all corners of the world, right?
I agree. You know?
So the labeling part of it is, to me, the corrosive part of it, because it doesn't allow us to have a conversation and get by that. It doesn't allow anybody to experience anything.
No, it sets boundaries.
Yeah, if you label someone, whether you're labeling them for good reason or bad reason, you stop conversation.
Yeah. In my culture, in Greek culture, there's definitely some racial stuff happening.
Yeah.
Right. With the refugees and all that stuff. But I see us being kind of chill with it, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because as Greek people, we welcome, it's in our culture to welcome people into our homes. I think it's still here. You know, giving them food. It was in ancient Greece as well. So I think because of that, we're very welcome. And we accept all the refugees and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because of that. Say Germany, you know, they're not doing that at all. But
honestly,
do you think it has to do with culture a lot?
You know, I think the Greeks are welcoming, and I think that there's a different experience with regard to race. But honestly, mm-hmm. I think in most places of the world,
yeah,
people are welcoming. And in most places of the world, people's better angels are better than their weaker angels. I really think that. Even though that you do have people's perspectives, people are more likely to be generous than to be prejudice, more likely everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's really is not confined.
So let me ask you a question now. Do you want to continue this podcast for a little while and talk about something else that I have in mind that we written down in our notes? Do we want to continue it on this podcast, or do we want to save it for next?
I say let's keep this on topic.
Uh-huh.
And save that, unless it's in this realm, because let's go ahead and have this conversation.
All right. Yeah.
And then we can have other podcasts.
Do you have anything else to say? I'm pretty much.
I'd love to hear what other people think. I'm kind of out of ideas myself in terms of what I think. I don't know whether people relate to it or don't relate to it.
All right. So I have an idea now.
Yep.
At the end of every podcast, because this is a Talk with Dad podcast, a Talk with Dad, yeah. What do you have to say to me as like a fatherly lesson, you know?
Good
I think
one.
We should do that at the end of every podcast.
Ooh, that's hard
like
for me.
what do you teach me, father? Huh?
Well,
what do you want to teach
sure.
me?
I'm not sure. I do think it's true that the kids teach the parents as much as the parents teach the kids, cuz you've got a fresh mind.
But right now, do you want to
I don't think you need any teaching in this area. I think you're honestly, I mean, I think the lessons I've had to teach you about seeing the world you've already learned by being my son. And beyond now, it's just a matter of us talking together to be better people.
And expressing our opinions to you guys or whoever hears this.
Yeah. I think you're as likely as I am to have something wise to say in this area is what I would say.
Thanks. All right. That was great. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave, a voice message or something on anchor.com.
Anchor.fm.
Anchor.fm, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and subscribe.
Subscribe.
Be part of the conversation. Help
yes.
us learn.
Yes, help us learn, and maybe we'll have a change of heart at some topics. Who knows? Personal development.
Yeah.
Exactly. Different type of stuff.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be fun, everybody.
If you have any advice about fathers and sons in this area, maybe you've got something to say about you know, what you think. Maybe you think, you know, yeah. I should have a different posture toward my son as a father, or he should have a different yeah. posture toward me. All comments are welcome. And
which basically means we're desperate for any type of
interaction.
Any type of interaction with you, right?
Exactly. Right now we have 11 listeners.
Yeah, none of them said anything.
We have no comments so far.
So please do.
Be the first. Surprise us.
Yeah. All right. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.